Town Talk Media Productions presents this edition of the Town Talk Show, where you will get information and insight of what's happening around our area, including our cities, counties, schools, civic events, people of interest, and much, much more. We are the voice for West Texas. And now here's Town Talk. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the special edition of Town Talk. Today we're going to be visiting with Dan Jackson and Cody Besant, and of course he's on the phone. I'm fixing to push him over, but
beam him up Scotty.
So we'll do that right fast. Let me move him over there.
You there, Cody?
I'm here.
Awesome. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, Cody, we've got two interviews that we did the last couple of days, and we're working through the technical side of that, but just to go ahead and get the ball running, I know you're on a time schedule. You are headed out of town. Got the chance to visit with Chairman Conaway at Seminole the other day at the Peanut Growers event. The chairman said a lot of interesting things about the timing and everything of the bill. He also alluded to the fact that the Democrats have completely pulled out of the House Ag Committee the work on the farm bill. And I wondered if maybe you could speak to that, you know, real quick. And of course, being somebody who is up there and working very intently on this, and as they're preparing to go to markup, maybe let us know kind of how that process is going to work, especially when there's not that other side in the loop helping.
Sure. So as the chairman's probably alluded to in your conversations with him over the last couple of weeks, is, you know, there's been a lot of changes and process of the art of the passable and the way forward with the farm bill process very well underway. We're very hopeful that we will see official language this week, if not next week, as per some of his timeline to move the process forward. And then in a hopeful process as well, see a pretty robust and quick committee markup with the House Agricultural Committee of a farm bill process moving forward. As you mentioned, you know, there has been some media dialogue on the Democratic Party essentially trying to pull out and retain some negotiating further on the farm bill process. I think that's somewhat unfortunate. I know the chairman has always been very willing and open to negotiate a pathway forward, and a lot of it surrounds largely around the nutrition title from what most read and most understand. Most of the rest of the farm bill that's been developed through a bipartisan means, through other avenues, through other members as well, is pretty well set and done through either Title I, which is the PLC or ARC program that we currently operate underneath today, to even crop insurance, which most of Production Ag utilizes very efficiently and very effectively in that process today, and even also in the conservation title, which we utilize forward. You know, some of it revolves around, as you can see, some of the political dynamics that take place in D.C. at any given time. But, you know, really when you look at the time of year we're in, and especially in an election cycle, that really starts to shed light on the art of passable bills any time during that process. And I know both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are weighing both the pros and cons of which bills or policies to try to either move forward or to try to halt, given some of the polling and the potential election outcome between the House and Senate, you know, whether the House will remain Republican-controlled or whether it will be flipped and be more Democratic-controlled, and so forth in the Senate. So that's some of the dynamics at play aside from just the policy alone. You know, relatively, I think the chairman has been very open and honest about how he has proceeded to develop the farm bill policy in itself to provide a meaningful safety net when producers need it the most, but also as you look in the vast majority of where dollars are spent within the farm bill is in the nutrition title. He's held, you know, several hearings over the last almost 3 years now to try to look at and focus on policy specific and not necessarily the monetary amounts, and then try to figure out a means to essentially revamp the nutrition title, but make it where it still provides meaningful support to those that need it when they need it most.
Well, and one thing that Chairman Conaway stated from day one was the fact that this farm bill was going to be done on time, no matter what it took, no matter what the hurdle was. And I know in the interview we'll play here in a minute with the chairman, you know, he goes back to that and what some of the, I guess maybe a good word would be gamesmanship that's being played right now by the Dems as they wait for the midterms. Chairman Conaway spoke to that, and he said, you know, I wasn't elected to work for a year and then wait for another year to see how the elections turn out. And I feel like you know, they're playing with a little bit of a short deck maybe, because this farm bill needs to be done, and I think Colin Peterson knows that. I think Colin's from what I, and I'm, this is my inferring from the conversations that I had with the chairman and some other folks that do this every day, is Colin wasn't real happy about it, but as part of that, if they do retake the House, he wants to be the one that chairs the committee after all the work that they have done, and so he's kind of between a rock and a hard place. It's kind of the way I took it. That could lead to a pretty interesting dynamic if we flip the committee right before it goes to a vote, you know, which would be, I mean, that would be kind of a nightmare scenario to me, but for somebody working up there, I can't imagine, because you've got a lot of time and effort invested in working with the whole committee, not just the Republicans or the Democrats, but that dynamic flipping could be a little bit of a challenge as we finish up, especially with some of the things you alluded to and what Chairman Conaway's proposed on the SNAP side.
Cody, this is Eric. You know, just a quick question, right fast. You know, a couple of days ago, Nancy Pelosi, everybody's favorite minority leader, anyway, she had included in her the balanced budget stuff that she was hoping that the Democrats would not authorize the bill to come through. Does she have the leadership still there on Capitol Hill to make that kind of statement?
You know, you're right in the fact she released what is called a dear colleague, and that's out to all of the Democratic members in their party and caucus. And it stated several items that they were trying to, you know, sort of revamp to gin up some opposition. And one mention of that was the farm bill, and a lot of it was surrounding what they deem as the nutrition title or the SNAP program. You know, the challenging part of all of this is. You know, several, if not a vast majority of members have never seen the full legal language of what's actually in the Farm Bill policy that the chairman and the ranking member being involved in the process have written together. And so I think once that bill is fully unveiled, that'll give more people the opportunity, both from the Republican side and the Democratic side, to fully vet and see what's actually in the policy, what the actual bill entails. I think that'll calm some of the waters of this nuances that you continue to hear in the media of talking points on, you know, the harshness and changes to the nutrition program, when, you know, that more than likely is not so. I know from Chairman Conaway's standpoint, he's never wanted to change or do away with a policy that provides meaningful and needed support. You know, there's many folks, even within our communities, that rely on the nutrition program to simply get by. So it's a valuable program with even the rural communities. So you know, doing a non-essential harm to the program, I think, is definitely the key in direction they're taking. You know, back to your question about the minority leader, Ms. Pelosi out of California. You know, in both parties, the majority leader, the speaker, they carry, you know, a great amount of leadership and weight within those parties. Even with Ms. Pelosi being the minority leader, she does carry a great amount of weight within her party, and that's how the leadership structure is designed for both parties. And I think them all trying to row in the same boat, as if you will, and play on the same team, is something that's a goal of theirs, and that's how they tend to try to navigate those waters, just like any other policy process is. You know, much like we look at in farm policy, is us as Plains Cotton Growers, but also working hand in glove with the National Cotton Council, with other like-minded groups like National Sorghum Producers, Texas Corn Producers, Western Peanut Growers, all of these other commodity groups. We all try to work very seamlessly together because we're better and we're stronger by numbers that way. It's no different in the policy arena with the Republican or Democratic majority or minority. They're all trying to keep all of their members in line, pull a strong, thin green line. And that's what they're trying to do right now.
Well, and I guess the fact that we're political football instead of it being a bipartisan bill like it used to be, that, you know, everybody worked together, everybody got things done, and it worked really well. Now we're getting tossed back and forth, and I know, you know, going back to the chairman's comments, and his comments from day one were that he was going to make sure that he got it done on time. I think he and Colin Peterson work well together from everything I've read and some of the things I've heard. But this kind of throws a monkey wrench in the whole idea that, you know, we're going to have this bill done. We're going to have it done on time, especially if they pull back. But as the chairman stated a couple of times in Seminole the other day, he's just got to find 217 votes, and he feels like that he can do that. I guess we'll find out shortly.
That's exactly right. I mean, as many of you following the chairman's remarks for the last year or two now, and talking about doing a farm bill on time, I know that he's very committed to that and essentially focusing on the art of the pass bill rather than looking at the methodology of, does the actual farm bill or farm policy within the farm bill need to be conjoined at the hip with the nutrition program. I think, whatever mechanism or means he can find to achieve 218 votes, I believe that would be the path forward that they would choose simply because of the need and the necessity to pass a farm bill on time that's much needed, that provides some certainty to not only producers but their lenders for at least a 5-year time frame, and that's something that he's very committed to. So looking for different avenues or venues to essentially achieve the pathway forward for passing what typically has been, as you mentioned, Ed, a bipartisan piece of legislation. Over the last couple of processes, we've seen it has become more partisan, and many listeners are remembering back to when the 2014 Farm Bill was essentially taken up and trying to pass it across the House floor. There was a successful attempt initially that did separate the nutrition title from the actual Farm Bill policy and actually took down the entire Farm Bill on an initial vote. That was the first time historically that had ever happened within the House process. So there's a lot of dynamics that take place in this process, especially as we've seen more dynamics within the Republican Party. We have more modern Republicans, and you also have the Freedom Caucus that has a different dynamic in the process. And then same thing, you have modern Democrats that much have been considered like Blue Dog Democrats, and you have the more leaning left Democrats. So there's just a lot more dynamics in these policy decisions and politics to play as the process moves forward. Then you have the Senate, the dynamics of all this. Where will they land as far as their bill whenever they decide to roll out their respective language? Obviously the Senate, it's a little bit of a different beast of how they move policy forward through their body. It takes 60 votes essentially to move a bill forward to get it to cloture. And based on the dynamic makeup between Republican and Democrats alone, I believe it's 9 Democrats to support the Farm Bill process even just to get it to cloture. So that weighs in on some of the dynamics of how the process moves forward. And then once they can essentially try to move both bills through both respective bodies, have got to go to conference and resolve internal differences between the two bills and then be able to send it back out to both the House and Senate for an up or down vote and get it to the President's desk and ensure that there's not a veto or any type of resigning authorization in that fashion. So there's a lot of work to be done, just to say the least, but I definitely think we have the respective the right people in the right position, such as Chairman Conaway, even respectively Ranking Member Peterson, provided some of the politics to be set aside once the bill's unveiled and really get into the meat of the policy itself and move the process forward.
Well, I'm going to change gears just a little bit, and he'll be able to hear what we play, won't he, Eric? Can he hear?
He should, oh yeah.
Okay. I got the opportunity to visit with Congressman Arrington on Friday. He addressed the your annual meeting, the 61st annual meeting, actually, of Plains Cotton Growers. He made a lot of remarks, talked a lot about the tariff situation and ultimately some of the positives that will come out of that they feel like. And I'm kind of proud of the fact that we're actually standing up to China for a change. It's been kind of a nice breath of fresh air. I hope that it works like it should. It looks like it will. But I asked the congressman a couple questions. We're going to play that interview real quick, and I know you're on a time crunch, but I wanted to get your feelings because I asked him a question and was kind of surprised by what he said after I asked it. So we're going to play that interview right quick, Cody, and then we'll let you give us a little analysis, a little play-by-play.
Dan Jackson with Town Talk Radio and Ag Update, and Congressman Jody Arrington has just got through addressing the 61st annual meeting of the Plains Cotton Growers. Congressman, good to have you back in the district.
It's always good to be in the district, Dan, and you don't know how good it is till you go to the swamp for a while. But man, we're getting some good things done. But there's always, you know, talked about Title I, restoring cotton to the safety net, historic tax reform and relief for all producers and all manufacturers in this great economy. But you know, there's always that next challenge, and right now, front and center, trade and the dynamic between the United States and China.
Well, and one thing that we talked about before we got on air was understand completely the trade tariff deal. And that's something that, as we talked about, we all understand in ag. My question is, will this open the door to maybe restructuring maybe some of our WTO agreements, because China, India, and Brazil are all treated as developing economies, and yet they are all powerhouses?
You know, I think your question is so astute. I mean, it hasn't come up yet, and I'm going to be frank. I haven't brought that up as an issue, but you're right on the money. If we can use this reset for a fairer trade dynamic to look at the broader issues, like how the WTO treats our competitors who have now surpassed us in production, to change those rules of China and India and others having developed nation status, which basically means that their country can subsidize them. They're state-owned farmers over there. How in the world do you compete with a country that can subsidize as much as they want so they can prop up their ag economy and producers, regardless of what their product is like? Is it that at that point it's not a market decision? Like, is it the quality good? Is the price right? I mean, they just can put you out of business. So yes, the answer is we've got to look at opening up new markets, because I'm a big free, fair trade guy. We need new markets to put pressure on them. We need to keep reducing the tax and regulatory burden on our producers. And we need to look at NAFTA and get that settled. And then to your point, we need to look at the maybe what is central to this discussion that's lost on a lot of people, and that's how the WTO rules are set. In the there's people who play outside of the rules, that's China, and then there are bad rules that need to change, like the one you mentioned on WTO.
Well, and I hope that conversation happens, and I know there are a lot of things going on in D.C. right now. One other area that I wanted to touch on that Chairman Conaway touched on last week in Seminole was the Democrats have basically pulled out of farm bill negotiations. And as a new member to that committee and somebody who has been out front and obviously your support for your home area, but in trying to do the work that you're supposed to be tasked with to do and do it in a timely basis, real quickly, your feeling on the move that the Democratic Party has made in pulling Colin Peterson and those members away from the talks?
I think it's as big a mistake as when they shut the government down on account of people who are here illegally. I mean, it's not like we don't want to fix the DACA issue, but we're not going to punish the American people. We're not going to punish our military by shutting the government down on account of folks who aren't even citizens of this country. I think that
okay, we're going to stop real quick. Cody's fixing to have to leave us. Cody, real quick, just your take. I happened to ask him about the WTO simply because we are pretty much abused by the WTO, by China, India, and Brazil, more aptly the Brazil case. Do you think there's any chance, just after I asked that question, do you think there's any chance of us maybe looking at revamping the WTO stuff?
So I definitely think there's always an opportunity to go back and look at revamp of either WTO or other, as Congressman Arrington mentioned, expanding trade or free trade, expanding the markets internationally. It definitely helps our growers here at home. One of the reasons that we've always been at a disadvantage or an uneven playing field with, like, China, for example, within the WTO, is China has self-declared themselves as a developing country. So they get a little bit different tax breaks and things like that underneath WTO rules, whereas we are considered a developed nation. And so we have a little bit disadvantage in a playing field with them on that aspect. that's one thing that we've got to continue to address and look at. And I definitely think the opportunity's there. The administration is definitely focused on that. And we just need to keep abreast of what's going on, but also not to, you know, use ag as a sacrificial lamb in those discussions is a big part of that. And be mindful that a lot of times whenever we go after trade disputes and things like that, ag is usually the first to take a hit. We just need to be mindful of that moving forward. But appreciate the opportunity to visit with y'all this morning. Apologize, I've got to jump off and get to another meeting, but we'll follow up some more as the Farm Bill process gets underway this next week. And appreciate everybody staying engaged as well.
Hey, always appreciate your time, Cody. Be safe in your travels, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, bud. All right, and that was our good friend Cody Besant with Plains Cotton Growers. And we had our annual meeting the other night, and I made the point. I'd actually missed Cody, and when I was introducing the guest, he didn't sign the right sheet. I missed him, so I went back and I think sometimes that, not as much now maybe as we used to, we kind of take for granted the groups that actually work. And I'm going to speak for cotton. I know there's the peanut growers have their group, the corn growers, sorghum growers. Everybody has somebody working for them. But we are really blessed in cotton to have Plains Cotton Growers at this level who has become immersed in the politics in Washington, trying to help with Farm Bill work, and has done a great job. And Cody was a big part of this 18 Farm Bill and working to try to get things done, along with Tom Sell and of course former House Ag Committee Chairman Combest.
I heard that name in a long time.
Oh man, he you talk about been there, done that, and got the T-shirt.
Oh yeah.
He was the man, or is the man still, commands a great deal of respect when he goes up there to work for us. And I'm thankful for that, but I don't want anybody to ever take it for granted. We're really blessed. Of course, you pay dues to Plains Cotton Growers and people like that for a reason, and they do a tremendous job. Cody did a great job, and I made sure when I did go back to him that I thanked him for his time and his effort there, because a lot of trips to D.C., a lot of work. He is in charge of, I might be wrong on this, so if it is, it's my misunderstanding, but I believe Cody's in charge of the pack that Plains Cotton Growers now has, which is a federal pack, mm-hmm. and they have done a lot of work and have been very judicious in their use of it.
Yeah,
but trying to make contact with people that typically aren't farm people.
Right. That's the way it's supposed to be, because the whole Farm Bill, it affects everybody from sea to shining sea, from the border, southern border to the northern border. That's what it does. And a lot of people, a lot of normal people out there that are not in agriculture, which is what, probably 95% of the people in America.
Probably more like 98% of the people in the United States.
Nobody realizes that's an important aspect to the whole, the whole thing. I mean, it's gotten contentious because of politics. Which should never be involved in any kind of food program whatsoever, and of course I'm still kind of, I don't know the whole ins and outs, but cotton being a part of that Farm Bill, I guess that's a good thing.
It actually hits all of agriculture, mm-hmm. from not only cotton producers but of course grain, sorghum, peanuts, the rice growers, sugar mm-hmm. growers. Our farmers and ranchers together. I mean,
wow.
A lot of policy there, a lot of trade mm-hmm. that affects us that they negotiate. And sometimes, I've been on Congressman Arrington since he won the runoff, mm-hmm. and I asked Chairman Conaway this about a year ago at a meeting in Lubbock. It's time for us to start negotiating for the home team again.
Yeah.
We have given yeah. away a lot of our ag industry, a lot of our mm-hmm. industry as far as steel, the mills, the cotton mills on the East Coast. Basically, when we made the trade deal with Vietnam, I mean, they left the East Coast of the United States and they moved operations to Vietnam, obviously because of cheaper cost,
right.
and things like that. No EPA, no OSHA. Mm-hmm. And we've lost a lot of that. So as somebody who is a part of that in the gin industry, especially because we're the first processor, it's nice to see the president in particular coming in and saying, you know what, you guys aren't playing fair. Mm-hmm. We have agreements in place. You're not playing fair. So we're going to we're going to do some tariffs. We're going to try to level this thing out a little bit until everybody wants to come to the table and do a little work. And so I hope it pays off.
Well, I meant to ask him, Cody, he'd probably know more, but I was hoping to ask him, and I forgot. Paul Ryan, the House, the Speaker of the House, he announced today that he will not be seeking re-election. And does that affect, on the House side, what we're trying to do?
Well, he's had a predominant role. I don't know whether he's thinking about a presidential run or not. He talked about it at one time, the last cycle, and didn't pursue it. I don't know. I don't know what that'll mean. It'll certainly bring a change to the party.
Yeah.
Maybe a positive change. I don't know.
They're dropping like flies.
Well, and I think and actually I had some Cotton Council folks in my office yesterday, and gentleman from Arizona who's been deeply involved in the National Cotton Council and also involved in the CAC, which is their PAC,
right?
Committee for the Advancement of Cotton. And I can call his first name, but I can't call his last name. And I'm gonna just defer. People will know who I'm talking about. It's Bruce, and I can't call his last name, and that's ADD brain kicking in. But we were talking about Flake, because Flake supposedly moral high ground. I'm leaving because I don't like the way this is going, and I don't like Trump's politics. Well, it turns out that actually Mr. Flake had a 14% approval rating in his home state and wasn't going to get reelected.
Right.
So he decided to jump off the ship now and avoid the embarrassment, which some of the legislation that he's proposed, he should have done a long time ago.
Yeah.
He and Mr. Grassley and Mr. Kind have come after crop insurance just about every cycle, every legislative cycle that we start talking about things. People like that, I'm not sorry to see go. I do worry at some level about what we're going to bring back in. The one thing that I want to see, and this speaks to all of politics, but farm policy, of course, is our number one concern here. But the one thing that I really want to see happen is let's go back to being legislators. Let's go back to sitting across the aisle from each other. And while I may not agree with what your group's core thoughts are, your party's core thoughts are, I've still got to work with you. We still got to legislate.
Oh, yeah.
We still got to do what's best for the country, best for the people. And I feel like that if we don't do that soon, the train wreck just keeps piling up.
Yeah.
And right now, now agriculture's stuck in the middle.
Right.
When you decide, because you want to wait and see what the midterms will bring, that you pull all of your folks away from some important work, very important work on this farm bill.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's misguided and that's reckless in my book. Now, this is my opinion, not Town Talk Radio or Adventure Marketing. This is my opinion. Be willing to work together, and that's what they've been doing. That's the that's the saddest part about this whole deal, was when I heard Chairman Conaway say that last week before last now at the peanut growers. They've worked well together. He and Colin Peterson have worked well together.
Right.
The Ag Committee tends to work well together. Not to say that they don't have disagreements in philosophy or whatever, but they've always tended to work together. We've never had this trouble. Back in the Combest days, we had Charlie Stenholm.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie was part of the Blue Dogs.
Yeah.
And the Blue Dogs were the centrist part of the Democratic Party.
Right.
They were the middle of the road folks. They weren't radical, but they weren't Republicans, but they were darn close. And the Republicans had a group in there that wasn't far right, and they were kind of in the middle, but they weren't Democrats.
Common sense.
Exactly. Yeah. And they could kind of work things out, and then they'd go back to the other side and say, look, guys, this is something we need to do. This is good for good for the country. This is what we need to do. And they got a lot done.
Yeah.
Well, we don't see that anymore.
No.
And I've quoted Steve Verrett now for several years. One of the best political quotes I have heard is, it's all about who can get the soundbite on the 5 o'clock news and how much mud you can throw on the other side. And that's basically what it's boiled down to. And both sides are guilty of that.
No, you're right.
Here's wind-driven snow folks on that deal. But getting back to our conversation on farm bill and stuff, and we'll play Chairman Conaway's remarks here in just a minute. We cut Jody off, but I was kind of surprised as a reaction when I brought up the WTO deal. Brazil bringing the case they did against cotton hurt us, and we paid for it in the 14 Farm Bill. Cotton was completely removed from the commodity title. We had insurance, which is a great safety net, folks, but it's not a gift, and that's something that that our people like the Environmental Working Group and Heritage tend to throw out there, that, you know, we pay for all this stuff for these farmers, and we do all this, and da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Yes, it's subsidized, and it does help. If it wasn't subsidized, the guys couldn't afford to operate and have crop insurance.
Right.
And that's their only real safety net. Now, we are back in the commodity title. It will help a great deal. Hopefully, we get the Farm Bill done as Chairman Conaway wants, get it done in October. That gives our ag producers, especially right here in Terry County and West Texas, the ability to get through this crop. And then when they go into the banker to start another year, there's some stability there.
Yeah.
More than just saying, I've got crop insurance. Because, folks, when seed's costing $400 a bag and tractors cost over $250,000, this is not grandpa's farming game anymore.
No.
And I've said it a lot of times, and in fact, I was on with Jim Stewart here a few weeks ago, and we talked about it. These guys are businessmen, folks. If you think this is not high tech and very intense business, you were very mistaken. These guys are in tremendous businessmen.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of business, we need to take a quick break. Pay the bills, and when we come back, we'll let you do what you do best, and that's talk about agriculture. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Terry County Veterinary Hospital is your first stop for your animal's well-being. Dr. Jim Ridenour and staff are committed to keeping your pets and animals healthy and happy. Terry County Vet provides quality medical care for all animals, large and small. We want to make sure your pets, livestock, or show projects are taken care of. Whether it be through maintenance or emergencies, Terry County Vet Hospital is there for you and your animal. Call 806-585-6363 to set up an appointment, or stop by their location on the Lubbock Highway between Brownfield and Meadow.
Got some property to take care of? Let Kubota help you out. Known worldwide as a leading seller of compact tractors and diesel utility vehicles, Kubota has the equipment to help get your work done. With a variety of tractors and a range of horsepower options, Kubota delivers the efficiency, power, and comfort to handle light construction, landscape work, and chores on the farm. Take on your toughest jobs with a Kubota. See your local dealer today.
Go by Terry County Tractor, 1203 Seagrays Road in Brownfield. Call 806-637-4569.
At J&J Farm Supply in Plains, Texas, we believe in the hardworking folks of West Texas. We want to be your premier supplier for all of your ag, farm, ranch, oil field supplies, sales, and service every day in every way. We believe that a happy customer should always be our main focus. So whether it's parts or service, we want to be your one-stop shop. J&J Farm Supply will be opening their new, bigger, and better location right down the road from 1405 Cowboy Way in January 2018, providing more for you, the hardest working people around. Call 806-456-3030.
Meadow Farmers Co-op has been a part of Terry County since 1935 with fast, courteous service and great hometown people. We have confidence that what happens today plants the seeds for tomorrow, so we strive to make the most of that by providing complete ginning service to local cotton producers. Come to Meadow Farmers Co-op this harvest season and be a part of our gin family. Call 806-539-2241 or stop by to learn about our commitment to local agriculture for yourself. Meadow Farmers Co-op, celebrating over 80 years of service to Terry County.
Let me get a McPick 2.
Keep the cheers going. McPick 2 is aiming for another win this season. The new lineup just made McPick 2 a powerhouse with the Big Mac, Filet-O-Fish, 10-piece chicken McNuggets, and the savory sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Yeah, we gotta say, folks, things are getting pretty hot in here. The new McPick 2 for $5 menu is a sure deal. Choose any two favorites for just $5. Mix and match yours today. At participating McDonald's, limited time offer, single item at regular price.
All right, we are back here on the special edition of the Town Talk / Ag Update On Demand show with Dan Jackson. And this has been, it's actually been a very interesting dynamic or a conversation we've been having today.
Well, talking politics, and I want to apologize. Bruce Hyden was the gentleman from Arizona. Bruce, Mr. Hyden, I shouldn't say Bruce. Mr. Hyden is one of the, what I would call one of the very incredible folks that make up the National Cotton Council, and he is a farmer and a ginner from Buckeye, Arizona, and quite a gentleman indeed. They were in town yesterday for a funeral. I got to visit with him, which is a real treat for me when I went through the leadership class in 98-99. Mr. Hyden was in charge of the CAC, which is the Committee for the Advancement of Cotton. It is the PAC for the National Cotton Council. And Mr. Hyden is very passionate about not only his farming and ginning operations that he's part of, but he is very, very passionate about agriculture as a whole and has done a ton of work on behalf of all cotton growers. And the cotton industry at the federal level. He is a tremendous gentleman, and I apologize for not remembering his last name while ago. I just drew a blank. But anyway, always enjoyed him, and him and Rick King came by yesterday. But anyway, back to the conversation that we were having, and we were talking about, you know, how much things have changed and dynamics have changed. And I'm off air, we were talking, and, you know, if everybody in D.C. conducted themselves like Mike Conaway has, and Jody's fallen right in there too. I should say that Congressman Arrington's fallen in there too. We could get a lot of things done. Chairman Conaway, the one compliment I will give him when I hear people talk about term limits is that you're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and you don't want to do that because of people like Chairman Mike Conaway. Congressman Conaway is the same guy whether he's talking to the Western peanut growers or if he's talking to Plains cotton growers or if he's talking to the Women's Auxiliary in Midland or if he's out in front of a bunch of political folks in D.C. at an event. He's the same guy everywhere he goes, and I appreciate about that about him. He is a tremendous leader, does so by example, and is one of the finest Christian gentlemen I have ever had the opportunity to visit with. Got to visit with him last week in Seminole. He addressed the Western peanut growers, and Congressman Conaway, folks, has done yeoman's work on the 2018 Farm Bill and trying to herd this thing through. He has faced a lot of issues, but one issue he has faced that I don't recall any other chairman of the House Ag Committee facing is having the other side completely pull out of the negotiations. And I think Eric's got that interview pulled up. We're going to play that interview real quick, and we visited a little bit about it because I had not heard that until he kind of made us aware of that in his comments at Western Peanut Grove. So with that, we'll go ahead and play that interview.
Dan Jackson with Town Talk Radio and Ag Update, and we have the occasion to have Chairman Conaway in our area again. Yeah. Thank you for joining today. We're here at the Western Peanut Growers, and always appreciate your time and coming back to the district. And big news for us: we are back in the Farm Bill. I'm a cotton ginner, so good to be back in the Farm Bill. Can you give us just kind of a brief recap of how things went down and what you're looking at as we go forward now as we get to the hard work, as you said a while ago?
Dan, thanks for having me on. I've also decided that I'm only going to show up at these events when it just rained, because you guys are in a better mood when it's raining. Now, we've done all the work to get ready for this version, the 18 version of the Farm Bill. We've got it drafted. We think we've got it in a position that meets the requirements that I had, that is no new money for the Farm Bill. I don't have to cut money out of the Farm Bill, unlike previous ones, but I don't get any new money. We think we've got policies in there that require hard choices, resetting of priorities in certain places that might cause some folks some heartburn, but where we are right now, moving into the next 5 years, we think these are the right policies. So we're going to get that done. I had intended all along and assumed all along that it would be a bipartisan work, that Colin Peterson and I, who worked well on all the non-SNAP portions of the Farm Bill, all of his priorities are in there. But then about a month ago, he bailed out, and he and his team last week completely bailed out, said they don't even want to talk to me about changes to SNAP. So, too bad. We're going to move forward. The producers in this country are worthy of a new Farm Bill. The SNAP recipients are worthy of the improvements we're trying to get made in the circumstances. And so we're going to move forward. If Colin and his guys want to reengage, I'll welcome with open arms to get it back in, because this is about agriculture policy for this country that shouldn't be partisan at all. It just should be what's in the best interest of our consumers and producers and SNAP recipients and folks who pay for all of it as well. So that's where I'm headed. We'll get the CBO baseline of April 9th. We think we're pretty good against that number. We'll check it just to make sure that I'm at the deficit neutral, no new money, no cuts. And if that's the case, then we'll release the language to the general public to let it socialize a little bit. If there's any fine-tuning necessary, great. Then we'll go to committee, and I'll get it out of committee, and then we'll go to the floor, and I'm going to work like a bandit to find 217 other votes to get this thing passed, because it's important. Of course the Senate will pass a different version. Of course we'll have to go to conference. This argument that, well, because the Senate might do something means we don't do anything, that is a goober. That's your gooberism, right?
Well, we're in a peanut place.
We're seeing the peanut growers. I'm not sure that's the right phraseology to use, but I get hired by the voters of District 11 to work 2 years to legislate, not work a year to legislate and then spend a year watching what the election might be in 18 or November. That's not how we ought to run this shop. So, going to get it done and anxious to move forward.
Well, we appreciate you working. I know, you know, you've always been big, and ever since you've taken over the chairmanship of the Ag Committee, your big deal has always been we're gonna be on time.
Absolutely.
We are gonna get this done on time. And as a gin manager who watches producers, with the uncertainty that we've had, and of course the ginning assistance came through, which was a big help.
Sure.
We appreciate that. We know going forward, there's lots of issues that are going to come between now and then, and I kudos to you because as you mentioned. Colin Peterson and that group has completely stepped away. And that's a challenge that some of our predecessors or your predecessors haven't had to face. Typically, a farm bill is the only bipartisan piece of legislation that everybody comes together on.
Absolutely. And I've been bragging across the district for the last 3 years that, yeah, it is partisan. Yeah, there's a divide. But, you know, the farm bill always works together. We're going to show you an example of how the system can work together. And I'm still hopeful that once the rank and file of the committee understand exactly what it is we're doing and not doing to a snap, that they'll see that. I was like, oh, wait a second. Let's reengage. Let's reauthorize Colin to negotiate with Conaway. Let's be a part of the solution. So that's what I'm hoping for. We can get it back on track and moving forward. But I'm excited about having the conversation with American people about the SNAP program. It just simply has to do with giving people the opportunity to better themselves. Yes, give them food stamps while they're doing that, but at some point in time they will, with this program, get better skill set, get a better job, make more money, and get off the program the way most folks would like to see people get off, and that is they get above the asset list and the income list and are back on taking care of themselves. So that's the goal of what we're trying to get done. We're not trying to hurt anybody or penalize anybody or arbitrarily kick anybody off. You know, if you qualify at the 130% level or less, an asset test that we've modernized, then you're on the program if you'll do these few things. And so, and again, we're not talking about retired. We're not talking about people with mentally, physically disabled. We're not talking about women who are pregnant. We're not talking about caregivers of kids under six. Those folks are not going to be changed. Nothing affected. We didn't change them. It's just that 18 to retirement age bracket that should be working, and we're going to try to help get there. Now, if they decide for themselves that food stamp is and the training and everything else is just not worth it, it's America. They get to make that decision for themselves. They take themselves off. That's on them. That's not on us. That's a decision that, and I think there'll be very few people make that decision once they see the fulsomeness of what we're trying to do with the training program.
It's always better to have a hand up than a handout.
Absolutely.
Well, I know you have other things to do. Chairman, as always, we appreciate your time, sir.
Good to be with you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
That was Chairman. That was Chairman Conaway in Seminole week before last. So
this is America.
They got the right to say they don't want food stamps if they have to work for them.
That's right.
You know, we'll just cut right to the chase, folks. SNAP is the biggest portion of the farm bill. The actual farm bill that relates to row crop agriculture and agriculture in general is less than 17%. It is the farm bill portion, or actually the farm bill itself, is 49/100 of the federal budget. So when people like Grassley and Kind and Flake stand on their head and start beating their chest about how much they're going to cut this waste and they're going to do this, well, folks, just remember that number in the back of your head. It's 49/100 of the federal budget, which is nothing, to make sure that you have food and fiber on the shelf when you go to the grocery mm-hmm. store. Sometimes I think back to what a farmer told me in Roscoe one time that his daddy said after the Depression. He said after the Depression, everybody had a whole new respect for farmers and the work that they did, because we had fought, you know, we'd fought through the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl. And he said people struggled to
yeah.
find food. You know,
oh, yeah.
It was tough. And part of me would like for some of these areas where these people are so vocally against agriculture to go into the grocery store a couple of times and find it pretty well empty.
Yeah.
I had the occasion traveling last year with my daughter's cheer team. We were in Orlando, and I visited with a young man from Venezuela who had been in the United States for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And the region he was in was a little bit rural, so they did have some food and stuff. But he had relatives that literally came back to where they're at
because they couldn't find any food on the shelves. They didn't have anything to eat. And folks, we take that for granted. Yeah. We spend less of our disposable income on food and fiber in this country than anywhere else in the world.
Oh, wow.
So you tell me that the investment in a farm bill and providing stability and a safety net for our producers is not a good thing?
Yeah.
Start figuring about 25-30% of your budget to go to food, or maybe more, just to feed your family. Mm-hmm. You know, let that sink in for a little bit. When you think about the investment that we have, 49/100 of the federal budget goes to the Farm Bill. Now, going back to what we started talking about, what the congressman talked about is what they want to do is revamp the SNAP program some. Now, understand what I'm fixing to say will not affect anybody who is mentally or physically disabled or anybody who is elderly.
Right.
It's not a requirement for them. What they want to do is these people that are of working age that should be out in the workforce, you know, trying to better themselves, they would have the opportunity for 20 hours of either work or job training, skills training, you know, an opportunity to get a hand up instead of a handout.
Right.
And that's what that was supposed to be when it started. But it has evolved into a lifestyle, a multi-generation lifestyle.
Right.
And we got to break that cycle because right now unemployment is at its lowest rate in years.
Yeah.
And folks, if we can help these people find employment that'll pay their bills and help them get out of that cycle of being dependent on the government, then we've made everybody way better off.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see the Democrats pull out because of that, with some of them, Nancy Pelosi being the chief one, I'm not surprised, but to force Colin Peterson and the Democrats on the House Ag Committee to pull away from the negotiation, not to talk at all to Congressman Conaway, or Chairman Conaway, rather, and the Republican colleagues, I think is a little bit shocking because, again, this has always been one of the truly bipartisan pieces of legislation that come through. And so, you know, I hope they wake up. I hope it's like the chairman said. You know, he has talked about it from day one, as he said in the interview, about the bipartisan, you know, work that they've done, and he and Colin have worked closely. All of Colin's concerns are in the part of the farm bill that pertains to agriculture as a whole. It's just the SNAP that they don't like, so they're going to wait till they pulled Colin away. And this came from the Democratic leadership, folks. This came from Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the leadership of the party, both Senate and House. They want to pull away until the midterm. So if they take the House, they take control of the House, they will probably hand the gavel back to Peterson. But if he hadn't have done what they said, he would not be handed the gavel to the House Ag Committee after all the work that he's done and being the senior member of that committee on the Democratic side. So politics has really reared its ugly head, and one of the worst examples I can think of in a long time. And I hope that voters will remember that. And I think that if anything else, Chairman Mike Conaway deserves a pat on the back for this little roadblock being thrown up. And again, like he said, we're going to proceed. He's continuing the work. He's continuing to work through it. And like he mentioned in the interview, he's just got to find 217 other votes.
That's all you got to do?
So
should be pretty easy since it's mainly supposed to be
with
things.
You know, but some of these guys, you know, it's just like, yeah, we were talking about Flake a while ago and Bruce Hyden. And getting to visit with Mr. Hyden the other day when he came through, I brought up Flake. I said, how do you guys elect a guy like Flake? And he goes, we didn't.
Yeah.
It was the urban areas. Yeah. And he said it got to the point where we didn't even go to his office because he was so anti-ag. He would publish articles in one of the big papers down there bashing agriculture. And he said, we just finally got to the point where we couldn't even talk to him. So he said, with the folks that are running for that seat right now, they have a healthy optimism that that door may be open again.
Right.
But for a gentleman like Mr. Hyden to say that they couldn't go and visit with one of their senators, one of their United States senators in a state that, you know, Arizona's got a healthy agriculture industry, cotton, and other crops as well, for them to say that they got to the point where they wouldn't even go in and try to speak to him, and of course they won't even go into McCain's office either because he's pretty much the same way.
Right.
It's pretty shocking. I mean, it's like it was here when you know, before, as I've said before, Cruz had his Saul to Paul conversion on agriculture, and we're thankful for that. You know, he's been listening and been working with us. But all that said, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, folks, the math, as one of my board members used to say, math don't lie.
Right.
Numbers don't lie.
Right.
You get your numbers and do the adding. Well, folks, 10% of your 10% of your disposable income goes to feed your family.
Yeah.
That is the lowest in any, I'll say it again, that is the lowest of anywhere in the developed world.
Wow.
And we take that for granted. And when the United States Congress, House and Senate, are negotiating trade bills along with the USTR that affect us, then they have to stand by us. They have to stand by our agriculture producers.
Right.
And it goes back a little bit to what we were talking about with Congressman Arrington in the previous interview, too. I hope the WTO, there's some restructuring of that agreement, because for China and Brazil and India to be considered developing countries or developing economies is, I don't know, laughable, I guess is the best word.
Well, they're cheating. I mean, everybody knows that. So,
you know, we had a huge issues with China right after the WTO agreement was signed with transshipping. They would ship stuff into Mexico, have another label sewn into it, and shipped in. And we finally got it stopped because they just flooded the market.
Right.
It's things like that that continue to hound agriculture. And, you know, like I said, people can say what they want to about President Trump. I do wish he would do something besides Twitter. But I have to say, my hat is off to him for the work that he has done.
Yeah.
He told us what he was going to do in the election cycle, and by golly, he's done it.
He's done it.
And he's kept his head down and got it done. People can say what they want to about the tariffs. I hope it doesn't hurt. I've got relatives involved in the steel industry. But, you know, at some point, I go back to this, we've got to negotiate for the home team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the stability of this country depends on that.
Right.
And we can't just keep giving everything away.
Right.
You know, we gave away steel, pretty much. I say that there's still some steel manufacturing in the United States, not as much as before. And as Eric and I were talking about off air a while ago, the cotton industry, the textile industry on the east coast of the United States used to be healthy and vibrant, took care of a lot of communities, very important. When they signed the trade deal with Vietnam, I mean, they left.
Yeah.
And there's just a few textile mills left in the United States. So, you know, folks, if you don't get the importance of the Farm Bill now, God help you, because this area is dependent upon it. We need good, strong farm policy to take care of these producers and our ranchers and folks like that, too, because I guarantee you, folks, and I've said it a jillion times, once you become dependent on somebody else for your food and fiber, you're not a superpower anymore. You're a servant to somebody.
Right. There you go.
So,
well, we appreciate everybody listening today. This will be put up on towntalkradio.com. It's almost as if like we could talk for hours.
Oh gosh, yeah, and I'm the world's worst. So.
Well, no, I would love to. I mean, I love to, because this is our life out here, and it's our livelihood for a lot of people. And you know, without our agricultural background through here, even you know, gas fuel, you know, food, fiber, and fuel is what you know really is our heartbeat in this part of the state and America itself. And without people like Congressman Conaway and Congressman Arrington there to fight for us, I don't know what it would be like. And so I appreciate what they do. I appreciate Cody Besant for what he does well.
And appreciate Cody taking the opportunity to visit with us this morning. He was on the move with some folks up in Cactus, Texas. But
way up there,
those people do a tremendous amount of work.
Yeah.
Again, hats off to Cody. Thank you for joining us today, too, Cody.
Yeah.
And as always, thank you to Chairman Conaway and Congressman Arrington for being not just a vote, but being voices for West Texas and for agriculture as a whole. I guarantee you, folks, these guys are working under some pretty tough conditions as far as trying to get anything done. So. Hats off to them, and we, again, always appreciate their time. They're always kind enough to include me with the big boys when they do interviews.
Yeah.
Always very kind and generous with their time. So, again, thank you, Congressman Arrington and Chairman Conaway, for your time, too.
And we want to thank all of our sponsors. I'm going to do both Town Talk and Ag Update because that's what we do.
Can I talk about Dr. Death?
Yeah, Dr. We will get to him in a minute. Okay. In fact, he was our sponsor for today's Ag Update with Tony St. James.
Oh, awesome.
One of our sponsors at Terry County Veterinary Hospital. So
yes, Mr. Radnheyer. Jason Spence refers to him, Dr. Death.
Dr. Death.
And and he is anything but. He has a tremendous staff, and they do a great job out at Terry County Vet.
There you go. So we thank Clinic Pharmacy, Brownfield Independent School District, B&S Heating, Air Conditioning, and Construction. If you need any of that stuff, you need to go talk to them, Mark Slocum or Mark Mark Bearden. McDonald's, as always, keep it going.
Have it your way, baby.
Have it your way. Of course, Terry County Vet Hospital, Carter & Company, Golden Peanuts, J&J Farm Supply, Meadow Co-op Gin. I know the guy who runs that place out there.
I work for some really nice people. They let me come up and play on the radio every
There you go. There you go. Sundown State Bank as well. Terry County Tractor. Go get you a Kubota.
Hey, talk to Doug and Vicki Melcher. Talk about a tremendous family who is not only great at what they do, service after the sale, but are a tremendous part of this community and the things
yes,
that they do
are,
behind
absolutely.
The scenes. There's so many things that Doug and Vicki do that nobody knows about. But, hey, thanks to them. And if you're looking for a Kubota or a Versatile product, contact the good folks at Terry County Tractor.
Yeah, please do. I want to go get one, but I don't have use for one. That's the problem.
I just want to have one to drive around.
It's going to be the little one. Yeah. I could, you know, if someone needs some dirt work
they've
done.
They've got everything under the sun.
They do, don't they?
Also, hey, and before we get off of the Melchers, also heavy into the viticulture equipment.
Yes.
So if you're in the wine industry and the grape growing industry, give them a call. They can sure help you out with that equipment too.
Yeah.
They have really gotten in depth with that. And again, service after the sale, folks. Doug and Vicki and their family, Shane and the crew at Terry County Tractor, will take care of you. It's not a one shot visit. They
right.
will take care of you after the sale.
Absolutely. Tejas Peanuts. Texas Ag Plus. Did I already say Triple D once?
No, Triple D on the square.
Yes.
If you're looking for a good lunch, go down to the Triple D. And Friday nights, they have live music.
They
and
do.
A special
I forget
menu.
Who's coming this Friday, but somebody is. So.
Tremendous. Oh, one other thing we need to throw in before we go off the air. The Women in Agriculture Conference is tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow.
Out at the Fulford Barn. Jackie Pate or Michelle Cooper, contact them if you need information
and
about
that. And it is filling up fast. Yesterday
heard,
I called.
Yeah.
And Jackie said, "Why don't you come out? You won't be. All you get to do is stand." And so I'm like, "Well, the daughter's going, so
good.
She'll do what she needs to do over there." So.
That is a great, great thing that they're putting on.
It is.
And ladies, if you have time, you might be able to get a seat. Contact Jackie or Michelle. But again, a really great conference. And I'll tell you something: we are blessed to have some very great folks as far as the women in agriculture.
Absolutely.
Our good friend Mary Jane Berkeley at Plains Cotton Growers.
There you go.
You know, Michelle Cooper, who helps with the High Plains Water District, her and
Sock Up.
Those folks, yes. I always have to think of that.
I know. I had to think of it, too.
But, you know, and, of course, Katie Jane Seaton and the bunch out at out at Farmhouse. And,
uh-huh.
of course, Betty Bingham involved in the Bingham Family Vineyards. And, of course, we always have our good friend Katie Day out at Day Ranch, who's heavily involved in all of the ACE activities and things like that.
Yeah.
You know. Boy, I tell you, make a tremendous contribution. We appreciate them. So, hey, if you have an opportunity to get out there, folks, please do. It is definitely worth your time. Get out and
the West Texas Young Farmers Association is cooking.
Oh man, yeah, Mason Becker. Mason Becker could pretty well make a career out of cooking, I think.
Yeah,
does a tremendous job. That meal alone's worth the trip out.
Oh yeah.
Besides all the great information they're going to have out there tomorrow.
Yeah.
West Texas young farmers are very active folks. They're working on some things right now. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk about here before long.
Right.
Some things in the work, but they did just give away three scholarships this week to some Terry County young people that are juniors. It involves a program that they've put together. And so hats off to those young men. Not only are
Absolutely.
They trying to be involved in the community and talking about agriculture, but they are helping with our kids that are coming up and offering them some really great opportunities. So hats off to the West Texas Young Farmers.
And pray for rain.
Yes, sir. Please continue to pray for rain, folks.
It's not looking good again.
I tell you, we need a rain to plant on. We were blessed by some rain and got to put some land up and get it tied down, but boy, we could sure use a planting rain.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, y'all have a great day. Dan, thank you again for coming in. As always, you're king of agriculture around here.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, man.
We'll see everybody later.
Well, we did it in an hour.
And today's show on towntalkradio.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at Town Talk Radio. This has been a Town Talk Media production. We are the voice of West Texas.